We have already heard a wonderful word and also the remark that things are not looking good in this world at the moment. And we have no prospect of things getting better. On the contrary, peace has been taken from the earth. And as Holy Scripture says, until the end there will be wars and devastation, famines and costly times. It is the mouth of the Lord that has said this. All the prayers, millions of prayers, cannot change that. What God has said will come to pass. And we must learn to pray according to God's will and simply accept all things that have been predetermined by Him as part of God's plan without dwelling on them. When the Lord Jesus spoke of these things, whether in Luke 21 or in Matthew 24, He said, "When these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near." He did not say, "Then pray that it will not happen," but "Then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near." From a purely visual perspective, it is of course a turning point in that America has abandoned its neutrality and sided with the British. The Soviet Union can grant itself the same right to take sides at any minute. And we can all figure out what that will entail. There is one of the things that Brother Branham saw in 1933, one of the visions. He saw America destroyed. He saw smoldering tree stumps, shattered and split rocks. And he said, as far as I could see, everything was destroyed. We do not know what will cause this. We do not know when that minute or hour will strike. One thing we know, time is precious, it is serious, it is costly, it must be redeemed, and we want to stand under the blessing and not be easygoing in the Lord's work, but to do everything we can to pass on what God has spoken. Perhaps only a small flock will remain, which will be despised and rejected, but which believes from the heart what God has spoken. And we are fully convinced that this is God's final word. Let us remember that once and for all, until the last hour of our lives on earth. We are dealing with God's final, conclusive, absolute word, binding for all who want to stand their ground before Him. Not everyone can believe what they want and do what they want and then stand their ground before God. Either we have our way and will end up accordingly, or we have God's way, or rather God has His way with us, and we will then end up with Him in glory. In the word to the Philippians, we are told to leave everything behind us. Sometimes this is not easy, but with God's help we will succeed. The prophet Isaiah says something similar in chapter 43. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I don't know if everyone feels the same way, but I heard last weekend in Zurich, and also before that, and again this weekend, that the sermon about the future home had a profound impact, and that the sermons are no longer read superficially, but that the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts in a special way. We have certainly all understood this, and you all know how many years passed before Brother Frank came forward to deal with these sermons. I have been translating them for many years, whether from tape, directly, or as a booklet. But now the time has come, and the Lord has given us the instruction to concentrate on the sermons after the opening of the seals. And God has a special purpose in this. And I believe that He is about to bring out His own and do to us what we need to stand our ground before Him. The fact is that we often cannot stand our ground before ourselves and others, let alone before the Holy God. And here we are already at the point that we are thrown into the dust and say, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And so is the cry of desperation and the conviction in our hearts, Lord, do not forsake me, I need you now more than ever. And so God will leave us in this inner conflict until He Himself turns it around and resolves it. We cannot do it. We can judge ourselves. We can judge others. We can attack ourselves, attack others. We can do anything, but we cannot change anything. At best, we can only make things worse. But God is able to change a situation, and we place our trust in Him completely and in the grace that has been offered to us in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now today we will continue with a sermon, Souls That Are in Prison Now. We got to page 18 last night. And I would like to read the last part of page 18 here. Now, Jesus, after He had finished His ministry, preached to those souls that were unsavable. The Bible tells us that He went and preached to the souls that were in prison, that repented not. When mercy was given to them, they spurned mercy, and now they are waiting for the judgment. Oh, what a time that must have been! I wish there was some way I could shake the world with that, to let them see what the reality is. Jesus said Himself, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Here Brother Branham refers to the scripture. We mentioned the three scriptures here last night. And Peter wrote that after our Lord was crucified, He went down and preached to the souls in prison who were disobedient, who did not believe when a servant of God offered them salvation, grace, and redemption in the name of the Lord. They perhaps saw Noah as their contemporary, with the same many weaknesses and infirmities as everyone else, and did not recognize that Almighty God had made an offer of grace to that generation, and they mocked and did not listen to the word of the Lord. Now they were in prison, in the lowest places, and the Lord Jesus went there and preached to the spirits in prison. But it was too late. Salvation was no longer there, forever too late. And we all know, as we have a few years behind us, how painful it can be and how one can feel when one has let certain opportunities pass by that will never return. Sometimes it may have been earthly things and we regretted them, knowing that the day would never come again, that the opportunity would never return, that it was over forever. Those are earthly things, but here it's about spiritual things. Forever too late, forever gone, never again the opportunity to come to God. That alone is enough to cause torment. That's all it takes. The mere awareness of having missed grace and being forever too late is enough to inflict the worst torment imaginable on the soul. One day, the time of grace will be over, and the door will be closed, and those who are outside will be outside forever, and those who are inside will be inside forever. It goes on to say, the ministry of Jesus Christ incarnates in His church in this last day. That's what many of us believe. I believe with you. I believe this. If I didn't believe it, I would not know what to do. Because, after all, this is me that's concerned in here. And if the Spirit of God be in you, you are concerned about the people. There is a scripture that always puzzled me. How that Moses could tell God a better idea than God had, till I found out that it was the Spirit of Christ in Moses. God said, Moses, separate yourself from them. I will destroy them all and start afresh with you. He responded by throwing himself in the breach and said, Lord, take me, blot out my name. It was the same people who had rebelled, for whom his heart beat so strongly. As a preacher who cares deeply for the people, how can I ever be justified before God and myself if I withhold something from the people I love more than myself? Not only Moses or Paul, who wanted to save his fellow countrymen and was even willing to give up fellowship with Christ if he could convey to his brothers the salvation that God had given in Christ. Moses stood up for those who had rebelled against him. for those who had banded together against him, for those who treated him badly. And Brother Branham says, it always puzzled me until I realized it was Christ in Moses. Beloved, the mind that was in Jesus Christ must and will be in all of us who have been born again unto a living hope, as we heard last night. We will step into the breach and leave all judgment to God. Paul says, I dare not even judge myself. What is it? For God alone pronounces judgment when he brings even the hidden things to light. Man sees only what is before his eyes. God sees into the heart. It goes on to say, notice, the same spiritual sign that Jesus done has reoccurred on earth in the last days. The very same spiritual sign that he identified himself as Messiah has identified him today. He is still Messiah. The same visible sign has appeared on earth. The same pillar of fire that Paul saw, the same who he was, all that has reoccurred with the same nature in it, doing the same thing. Here we are talking about a single sign. If we take just two scriptures, Mark chapter 16, it says in the plural, these signs shall follow them that believe. And then a number is listed, and there are plenty of other scriptures that support this and speak of it. If we wanted to talk about the signs of the times, there are many of them. But here we are talking about a single sign, the sign of the Messiah, the appearance of the Lord in the pillar of fire, and what he did in the days of Moses, and what he did during his days on earth. And it has been repeated in the same way. We need not speak further about this. All who are familiar with the message know that on the 7th of May 1946, the angel of the Lord gave Brother Branham the scriptures. He gave him the scriptures directly and said to him, just as it was with Philip and Nathanael, just as it was with the woman at the well, when the Lord revealed the thoughts of men, so it will be repeated now through your ministry. These are only testimonies that are found here and there in very old sermons, which may not even have been translated, but the angel of the Lord directly named these people who are mentioned by name in the Bible and referred to the examples that through his ministry the same would be fulfilled as the last sign before the return of Jesus Christ. And that has been fulfilled before our very eyes. When it comes to signs and wonders, we could mention many evangelists through whose ministry healings and signs and wonders have taken place. There is no doubt about that. But this is about something more. You know, when Moses was sent, there was the sign, and the sign was followed by a voice. You all know the sermon, the voice of the sign, and it was the voice that called out, and revealed the word for that time. So we are living in a time when certain prophetic things are being fulfilled, which not everyone sees or hears, unless God opens our eyes, our ears, and our hearts, so that we can truly understand and place them biblically. That is what matters most. Not only that we hear it and talk about it, but that we have the grace of God to be seized ourselves and to be part of God's work in this time. And I believe that all who have been predestined to see the glory of God will gather together and obey God's word and shut themselves off from everything else. It goes on to say, that was his idea, that human would speak back to human, not himself, but the word of the Lord comes to the prophets, to the prophesiers, the preachers, and a prophesier that denies the original word, how can he be a true prophet? He can't be, because he is denying the truth of the word. And then if it doesn't, then this word itself is preached by the trueness of the word and by the trueness of the Holy Spirit. Every promise given in it will be fulfilled. We also rest in this. Every promise that God has given in His Word will be fulfilled in everyone who takes in His Word. His Word cannot return void. It will and must accomplish what it was sent to do. But it is about more than a temporary enthusiasm in a church service. It is about more than just having feelings that are gone in a few minutes. It's about more than that. It is about a deep, thorough work of God in your soul and mine, that we may be brought into conformity with God, so that the part still to come may be fulfilled, and God may bring all things to completion. It goes on to say, now we see these things. Remember, the seven seals was finished, and when those seven revealed truths, one of them, he wouldn't permit us to know how many was here when the seven seals were preached. All of you, I guess. The seventh seal, he wouldn't permit it. He stood right there in the room and revealed every one of them. Let us pause here for a moment. You all know that every afternoon at about 2 o'clock, the Lord in the pillar of fire came to Brother Branham in the room, which was completely dark. The blinds were down, and he was deliberately in this completely dark room to see the light of the pillar of fire clearly. And he was eager before God to hear what the Lord would say to him. And here it says, he stood there in the room and revealed every single one of them. But he did not release the seventh seal. Here lies a mystery that people rack their brains and sometimes talk about unnecessarily. What God has revealed is for us and for our children, as it says in Deuteronomy 29:29, if I'm not mistaken. But the secret things belong to our God. And so let us leave to God what is still left to Him and be grateful for what He has already given us. But the tragedy is that people have not yet understood what has been revealed and want to delve into what God has not yet released. And they lose themselves in infinity and then, in the end, cannot find their way back or out. We will never go beyond what the Lord has spoken until He comes. Where He is silent, we will be silent. Where He has spoken, we will speak. Nothing more. May God grant this to us all. It goes on here. What day are we living in? Where we at? Remember, in that sixth seal, all seven trumpets sound. That too is something very precious. You all know from the exposition of the seven church ages that Brother Branham preached the first four seals parallel with the seven church ages. And then he says, the fifth seal refers to the Jews, and the sixth seal refers to the great tribulation. You all know what is written in it. The sun and moon are darkened, and the stars fall from heaven, and so on. And it is precisely in this sixth seal that the seven trumpet judgments written in the Bible fall. That is also worth noting. When we go through this, you will see it. Each of the seven trumpets sounds during the sixth seal. That is absolutely yes and amen. It fits in 100%, just as everything else fits into the overall program. There is no more puzzling or guessing about it. Oh, that we could grasp it once and for all. God has revealed everything we need to know and everything that is necessary to stand our ground before Him. And the moment of His return or His coming, even if we knew when it is, what good would it do us? But the Lord says that no one knows and no one will know. It goes on to say, all that He died for was written in the book, and He could not leave His meritorial seat until He had thoroughly redeemed. He couldn't redeem it at the cross because they were predestinated in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have also explained the difference between the Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of Life. The same book with two completely different sections, if I may put it that way. At the final judgment, according to Revelation 20:11, it is not the book of the Lamb that is opened, but the book of life. At the final judgment, many who are written in the book of life will still be accepted. The first resurrection, the rapture, concerns the chosen first fruits, the bride church, those who are to and will be raptured, not just those who will be saved in general, but actually those whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from before the foundation of the world. It goes on to say, He has to stay there to make intercessions until that last person was finished. Glory. There are some scriptures where Brother Branham could give the impression that the Lord has left the mercy seat. If he had left it, then we could leave this building today. Then we too would be forsaken. It is the daily grace, the hourly grace of God that sustains us and his intercession. And I will not remain indebted to you, but will read from a sermon of Brother Branham. You can remind me and take me at my word. He says in the seven seals, the moment the bride is raptured, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, will be cast out. Do not worry about it. It all fits together perfectly. It goes on here on page 23 at the top. When these seven seals was opened, that opened up the entire Bible. The seven seals, it was sealed with seven mysteries, and in these seven seals held the entire mystery of it. And it was the Book of Redemption, the New Testament, not the Old. It only proclaimed for the New Testament. They could not be made perfect without us. We all know that Brother Branham often used the phrase, the Book of Redemption. And after the seals have been opened, all the redeemed, whose names are written down and who have been included and enclosed in God's work of redemption, may look into this Book of Redemption. All others will remain outside. They will still be guessing or have their own interpretation and understanding. But the truly redeemed multitude, the first fruits, who follow the Lamb wherever it may go, who no longer want their own way and thoughts, will have access to all these things that God has revealed. And it says here, it is the Book of Redemption. We will see later that all the redeemed have been included. Let me read the last paragraph on the same page. Their names are on the Book of Life, in that book, and he had to stand here, because it was God's purpose to redeem them. Their names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was put there with it to be slain. Then came the Lamb that was slain to make intercessions. Here we have it. The names of all the redeemed, those whom God predestined before the foundation of the world to be part of the first resurrection, are written in the book, and they cannot be taken out. A name could be deleted from the Book of Life, but no name can ever be deleted from the Lamb's Book of Life. For this does not depend on you or me, but on God's direct predestination. And may it be far from God's mind that he would ever need to correct himself or use an eraser to take something away. Far from it for all eternity. What God has done is done forever. So, the opening of the seven seals, this mysterious book, not only contains secrets, but also your name and mine are written in it, because these secrets were meant for you and me, and we have been given access and will be sealed by the Holy Spirit. There is no other way. That is God's promise, and we stand by that. Therefore, there is nothing to discuss about it. It should finally make us happy. I know exactly how you feel, and I know even better how I feel myself. And we are not deceiving ourselves or anyone else, that we still need many things to stand our ground before God. But at the same time, we cannot deny that the Lord has been gracious to us. Likewise, we cannot deny that He has had mercy on us and accepted us, that we may be His property forever. And in faith, we hold fast to this and are ready to move forward with His strength and help. It goes on to say here, the church is going to be there without spot or wrinkle, for the Lamb died for that purpose. And then, when the last name on that book was redeemed, the Lamb comes forth and takes the book. I'm the one that did it. Do we see it? When the last of those whose names are written in the book is redeemed, the Lamb comes forth and takes the book. So no one can be missing. I know some say, well, the time of grace is over. For those for whom it is over, we can only feel very sorry. For if it were over for the person concerned, he would not know where he would end up. These are just misunderstandings, because people who are not authorized to deal with these things do so and bring others into trouble as well. I will now read from page 24, second paragraph. The angels, the cherubims, the 24 elders, the 4 living creatures, uncrowned themselves, fell down before the throne and said, Worthy art thou. John said, Everything in heaven and earth heard me hollering, Amen, screaming Hallelujah and praises to God. We sing the chorus, Thou art worthy. At that time, the 24 elders and the living creatures fell down. And I tell you openly, I've said it before, I have the impression that it is not proper to sing this chorus while sitting. Standing is the least we can do, and lying on our faces would be even better. We live in the time when this took place. The Lord alone was worthy as the slain lamb and took the book to break the 7 seals and reveal its contents. When the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures saw this, the 24 elders immediately took off their crowns. It was over. They knew, no one here deserves the honor. Who are we before this Lamb that was slain? We are not here because we were men of God, because we were prophets. We are here because the Lamb was slain. They took off their crowns and fell down and sang together, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to receive praise and honor. Who are we? Will anyone enter heaven who could push their chest forward a little and raise their head? Or will everyone enter and say, O Lamb of God, you have triumphed gloriously on Golgotha. Amen, Hallelujah, as the song goes. And that is why we are here, and we are there. Not because we were worthy, but because He, the only worthy one, came for us who were unworthy to accomplish redemption, to give us salvation and grace, to lift us up from the dust and make us children of God who will be in His image. Just think of it, that we will one day be in the image of the Lord. And the first will all be past, and one will no longer be able to think back on it, but will be forever as sons and daughters of God before the Lord for all eternity. Here it goes on to say, notice, it was to be the seventh angel's message that was to reveal the seven seals. In Revelation 10:7 you will find it. He saw this angel come down, put his foot on the land and on the sea. That was Christ, had a rainbow over his head. Notice, you will find him like that in Revelation 1, with a rainbow over his head. Look upon as Jasper and Sardius. Here he come, one foot upon the land, one upon the water. Raised up his hand, he had a rainbow over his head. That's a covenant. He was the covenant angel, which was Christ, made a little lower than the angels, to suffer. There he come, and put his hand up to heaven, and swore by him that lives for ever and ever, the eternal God, the Father, that time shall be no more, when this takes place. These are all wonderful words of God, which one can only delve into, for which one can only be grateful, about which one does not need to say much more. They all speak for themselves, and they want to touch your heart and mine. In the last line, on page 24, we read, notice, all possible. He come forth for redemption. All that was to be redeemed was in the book, predestinated before the foundation of the world. He come to redeem them. Hallelujah! Praise be to our God. It does not only contain mysteries, it contains your name and mine. And that is why these mysteries are revealed to you and me and all those whose names are written in it through the Spirit of God. It goes on to say, they were predestinated before the foundation of the world, and He came to redeem them. All He had redeemed was written therein. Isn't that wonderful? We are not just newcomers. We are citizens of God and members of His household. On earth we are pilgrims. Our journey is short. Our home is up there. That is where we belong. Here it says, He came forth for the sake of all the redeemed who were written in the book. All those who were destined for redemption were written in the book. They were predestined before the foundation of the world, and He came to redeem them. All those whom He redeemed were written in it. How often did Brother Branham say, your name was not written down when you were converted. You were only converted because your name was already written in it. Brothers and sisters, God is not dependent on time to wait and see what will come. God has determined the coming of time and the entire course of time. From eternity, He has been able to oversee everything and already arrange everything He never needs to reconsider or form a committee, never. He has determined everything from the beginning. The second paragraph says, what did he say down there at the river about 33 years ago? As John was sent forth, see, to announce the first coming of Christ, your message will announce the second coming. We have emphasized this several times here. In earlier years, Brother Branham always saw himself in connection with the message. After the opening of the seals, this is the main formulation. No longer so you will be, but so your message will forerun his second coming. And that is exactly what is happening. I know there are people who want to draw a comparison between John at the first coming of Christ and Brother Branham at the second coming of Christ. And Brother Branham makes a statement that cannot be denied. It is in the sermon before the first seal that the seventh angel will be on earth at the time of this coming. He doesn't say at the time of his return, at the time of this coming. I don't want to go into that now, because I intend to write about it, God willing, to clarify everything that should and can be clarified. But let me say this right now. Everything is clear to the children of God, and they will not allow themselves to be led astray or confused by anyone, not with 100 arguments, because they do not respond to the first and do not listen to the second. They remain spared and wait for the Spirit to guide them into all truth. One thing I can say here, did John remain until what was to happen happened at Calvary? Did he remain, or did he leave beforehand? Did he fulfill his job? 100%. And when his job was done, he had to leave. But Christ was still there, and God's plan continued. And then came Golgotha. Did not Brother Branham do the part he had to do? Did not the Lord come? Oh, my heart could rejoice and exult when I see all these things, and then it can break when I see how people fiddle around with their minds in such a precious word of God. Oh, that hurts in the deepest soul. But our God knows his own, and he will give them grace until the last hour, and he will help his own to discern, and they will not be led astray and confused. What good are 100 arguments? One thing God has said is worth more than 1,000 arguments. And when God has spoken, then it is a clear thing. And when people speak, they can talk all day long, and after they are finished, we have headaches. But the soul is empty, and the answer is not there. What does that help? Not a single person, but God is faithful. He will help. Do not worry about that. On page 30, we read about halfway down, yea, I know that. See, just exactly what's wrote on my book of prophecy in 1933, that it would take place. Why don't you realize that's Satan uniting together? The Bible says that. And just after a while, as soon as they become one, then the interdenominational is finished. There will be your mark of the beast. That's right. I ain't got time to go into this. This doesn't really concern the subject, what Brother Branham wanted to talk about. But he mentions his old friend Duplessis, with whom he preached on the same platform, who was mainly involved in the large meetings in South Africa. who saw what God was doing. Before that, this man had never set foot on U.S. soil, and afterwards he became a world-renowned figure in the USA. And Brother Branham laments this here, and he says, a man with whom I spoke on the same platform is now in the process of uniting everyone. And do you know who brought about the union between the denominations, especially between the two main denominations? Was it the Methodists? Was it the Baptists? Was it the Salvation Army? No, the Pentecostal movement was the link between these two great denominations. The Pentecostal movement. The Methodists had nothing to offer. The Baptists had nothing to offer. Who had something to offer? But what did they offer? An emotional movement, something that made people think they had now received the Holy Spirit. And what is it? You can read this sermon carefully, in which Brother Branham refers to more details. How grateful we can be that the Spirit of God had such control over this prophet, and again, even when it was not part of the subject, the Spirit drove and guided him to say it so that we would not forget it. Now we come to the third pull on page 31, second paragraph. What if that could be the third pull to the eternal lost? What if it is there? I hope it's not. What if it is? Think of it just a minute now. What if it is? God forbid. I got children. But it sure looks pretty close here. Why did that vision come when I was a kid? Why did I never think of it before? Why did that trance come there in the room the other day? I said, here it is. It is right in the midst of the souls lost. And Jesus preached to them, witnessed, but they never repented. The more I preach, the worse they get. There is no repentance, no place for it. The Lamb took his book during the sixth seal, just when he was ready to open the seventh. This is very important. You know, Brother Branham, and we had to take it over. He was keeping the times very rarely apart. It wasn't his fault. His education, his language skills were very limited. He simply did not know grammar. Where the present tense should have been used, he used the past tense. Yes, that was his general style. There was nothing we could do about it. But those who have the Spirit of God can see here, for example, that he takes the book during the sixth seal, during the sixth, not during the fourth, during the sixth. This has been stated very clearly. Remember, he hid the seventh seal from us. He wouldn't do it. When the angel stood day by day telling it, but then he wouldn't do it on that one, said, there is silence in heaven. You all know that Brother Branham calls the appearance of the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud the angel of the Lord. This is how he is described in Exodus 3 as the angel who appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and so he is still described as the angel of the covenant in Malachi 3 verse 1. Here Brother Branham says, as I just read about the angel, he wouldn't give it. The angel stood day by day telling it, but he wouldn't do it on that one. And there will be no one who will know. And if you remember the sermon well, he says here, why have I never thought about this vision before? Why did that trance come there in the room the other day? And he already had it when he was a boy. He says, when I was a child, he had the vision. And now, suddenly, he's sitting there in the department store, sitting in the department store. Revelations from God can happen anywhere. When God's hour is right, it can be here, it can be outside, it can be wherever we are. He was sitting in the shopping center, watching the women coming up the escalator. And suddenly, when he saw the women with their green and blue painted eyes, something struck him, and the next moment he was in a trance and saw a vision and was reminded by the Spirit of what he saw as a boy. And under this divine impression of revelation in that hour, he knew, wait a minute, the time is now. What was shown to me back then, I see it now, here in front of me, with my own eyes. I see it now. And already the Lord spoke to him and revealed things to him. And now he continues. It's hard to read because not the sisters. Let me tell you, Brother Branham did not mean the sisters, and I don't think anyone should feel addressed if they are not addressed. He simply meant those women who in their arrogance, in their blindness, in their pride, go about as if neither God, nor man, nor anyone else had anything to say to them. They are the ones being addressed, not those who submit to God and God's word. We all know that very well. And then it says here, in the next paragraph, look what the denomination has done to her. They made her a handler of the holy word, which is contrary to the Bible. They made her a preacher. It's forbidden of the Scripture. Even makes her now become ruler, mayor, governor, everything in the country, and a minister in the house of God, though she is guilty of every sin that was ever committed. She is the cause of it. I am not speaking of rights. She is guilty. She is the one that caused every baby to be born blind. She is the one that caused every grave to be dug. She is the one that caused sin, sickness, sorrow. An ambulance can't ring unless a woman caused it. No crime can be done. No sin, no death, no sorrow, no suffering. But a woman done it, and God forbids her to go to the pulpit to preach, but yet they do it. You cannot read everything. Now the next paragraph. It's the predestinated church I'm talking to, not those out there. No, sir. Out of every group, he has pulled. His predestinated, that's what he's coming for in every age. This is also a very wonderful statement. It's the predestinated church I'm talking to. It is the elect who listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. And you know very well what is written in Hebrews about the people of Israel, that they ate the food of angels, and yet God was disgusted with them, and they did not enter into his rest, and God had to swear in his wrath. Not long ago, I read a prophecy that we have received the word of angels and the food of angels. Beloved, but that alone is not the criterion. What we have done with it, what has become of it, what it has achieved, that is what matters. The people of Israel saw the pillar of fire, they received manna, angel food, they experienced everything God could do, after spirit, soul and body, even on their clothing for 40 years. And when the time was up, they were all dead. Brother Branham says, forever separated from God. So it is not what God has given and done, but what we do with it and what God can accomplish in you and me through it. We may have seen the pillar of fire, we may have eaten angel food, we may have heard God's word, we may have experienced and received everything, but then it comes down to obedience. At that time, they did not mix the word with faith, and they did not live it out in obedience, and God became angry with them. The same may be true now. It is not enough just to hear God's word or to receive it, but to be able to put it into practice by grace. Here, Brother Branham says something. Right on page 32, last paragraph. Bless God, yea. He speaks beforehand of the gifts of the Spirit that people have and say hallelujah and so on and praise God. And then it says, bless God, yea, you did. Remember them people of Israel. The Bible said, after he called the people out and saved them out of Egypt, he destroyed them because they didn't follow the message. They ate manna out of heaven. They ate manna that God rained on the earth for them to eat, and stood in the presence of the messenger and seen the pillar of fire and heard the voice of God and seen it confirmed. And then, because they wanted to believe Korah, there can be more holy men. There can be this, that, or the other. We got to be holy too. We got to do all this. All the people is holy. If that is not the language of today, then I do not know what is. And God forbid that I should be a judge now. I am judged and know what it is like, and I never want to judge anyone. But that is only an observation. As in the days of Moses, what happened? One came and said, aren't we here too? Have we not heard all this? Do we not have the word? Do we not have the message? Are we not part of God's people? Is he alone? He alone? Who gives him the right? Were we not all led out by God? Did we not all pass through the Red Sea? Did we not all drink from the rock? Were we not all there when this and that happened? Who is he? Is he alone? We are all holy. He has this and that, and we have nothing. We are here too. Yes, we are here. That's true. But God is not far away either. God was not far away. God saw everything until a certain point of time. And then he says, now it's over. Who have I been talking to? To you or to him? What is this all about? Had Moses, had other servants of God pushed themselves into the foreground, or was the hand of God upon them, and was there a divine purpose behind it? Oh, I wish everyone could do what they wanted in the kingdom of God. But that is not possible. It is forbidden. It is forbidden by God. In the kingdom of God, only God has anything to do. And those whom he commissions to do something, everything else, let me say it plainly and speak it out, is under a different inspiration. One wants to do something oneself, and through one's own actions, everything falls into a hopeless mess. People are torn back and forth. Here's Korah. here's Abraham, here is someone else, you know, all these people. And it was a back and forth. Where should we go? Who should we listen to? What is now? There is Dathan, there is Korah, there is Abiram. Everything is in confusion. To whom had God spoken? Whom had God commissioned? Who had any say at all? The people forgot everything God had done. It seemed as if suddenly what had happened was no longer there, and they let themselves be tossed to and fro. And it was the same Moses who interceded for everyone. And you can believe me today, I intercede for everyone. Neither privately nor publicly has anyone ever heard me utter a single negative sentence about anyone. I carry a very deep sorrow in my heart, because I know very well that a divine commission is not a small group that can be somehow persuaded to agree with you. The divine commission is always worldwide for all of God's people. And if you just think about it, the bride of the Lamb will consist of all peoples, tongues, and nations. Who is going into all the world? Where is anything being done? Anyone can gather a few people around them and go back and forth in the houses. That is also something I am being reminded of right now. Let me mention two facts here. In the book of Acts, perhaps chapter 4, in any case, somewhere it's written, and they gathered together in houses. That is biblical and that is good. When we come together for prayer, for preaching the word, for breaking bread, no one can object to that. But when Paul writes to Timothy about the brothers who go from house to house to confuse people, that is a completely different matter. The one has nothing to do with the other. But then one can distinguish how things stand and what direction and spirit they are influenced by. Sure, that is also part of it. It must be said, so that people can make their own decisions and not be tossed to and fro by every wind. Now, page 33, Moses said, all who are on the Lord's side, come with me. Then he opened up the earth and swallowed them up. They were good people too. Sure, they were. They were fine people. Yes, sir. But that didn't do it. Not all who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do the will of my Father. Of course, the question is not whether someone is good. The question is whether someone was sent by God. And we have written it, he who is sent by God speaketh the words of God, and he that is of God heareth God's words. And I hope that no one comes just to hear a man. I hope that we come to hear God through his word. But let me emphasize, the time is serious. One day, everyone will remain where they have taken their stand. Those who were with Korah will be with him. Those who were with Dathan will be with him. Those who were with Abiram will be with him. And those with Moses, one day, somehow, it will come to an end. And everyone will stand where they have taken their stand. We have not even taken our stand with Brother Frank or Brother Branham. We have taken our stand with the Lord, who has revealed his word in this time. And we thank him that he, the Redeemer, the Lamb of God, took the book of redemption. And we thank him that he has written our names in it, and that we can have a share in all that he has revealed. All whose names are written in the book of redemption will listen to no one else but the Redeemer. to the Lamb who was slain, who took the book, broke the seals, and revealed its contents, and they will find rest in God, and be of one heart and one soul, not being one against someone else. That is done very quickly. Then Herod and Pilate are all friends. That can all be, but that is not a divine unity. Divine unity, God in us, and we in Him, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And this we want to see, and this we will see. God will give it to us by grace. May His name be highly praised and highly exalted. May He give you and me grace and discernment to know who is speaking now, for what purpose is being spoken, what motives are behind it. And we all know that in the end, only what has been said in accordance with God's will and His word, and what has been done through His Spirit, can stand its ground before God. May we understand this today. And in closing, let it be said once again, the book of redemption has been opened for the redeemed, whose names are written therein, who are included in this plan of redemption. They have access to what is written in it, because they themselves are also written in it. Hallelujah! This is something wonderful, something glorious, something great. And my heart can also be confident and thank God, because I know that my name is written there, and we all know it through the testimony of the Holy Spirit. May God bless us all. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Streams of grace flow down, fill my heart with love and grace. Healing streams flow down. Heavenly Father, together we come before your holy presence. We want to bow down before you, for you alone, O Lord, are worthy to take the book, to break the seals, and to reveal what is in it. Thank you that we may be part of your plan of redemption. Yes, that we are actually the ones for whom redemption was intended. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to you. Glory and worship to your holy name. We may sing, I am redeemed. I may boast, redeemed by the Savior's blood. Beloved Lord, may you yourself lead out your redeemed flock, whom you have paid for and purchased at such a high price with your precious blood on the cross of Calvary. Call them out and reveal yourself to each and every one of them. Lord, I thank you that you give total clarity everywhere about what you have spoken and revealed. Beloved Lord, you know that we long to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We long to receive a new life that can stand its ground before you, to be renewed in the deepest insight to be the church of the firstborn, in which you dwell, in which you can reveal yourself. O God, we thank you that you will do it. Lord, I thank you for deeming us worthy to hear your last speaking. We believe that it is God's final word. My God, nothing can be added to it and nothing be taken away. Savior, may you bring us into agreement with this word of God. Bring us into complete harmony with you, with your word, with your spirit, to be in complete conformity. Faithful God, we intercede for all out of conviction and ask you, Lord, you know your own, and your own know you, and your own hear your voice. May they hear it in all the confusion, and all people's opinions be snatched away, and hearken to your voice by grace. Lord, we lay everything before you and ask you to bless us and all your worshipping people throughout the earth from the riches of your grace. In Jesus' name, Amen.